Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to this week's broadcast from River of Life Fellowship Church in Copenhagen, New York. This week, Pastor George Gray relays God's call to, if at all possible, live at peace with others.
Happy Palm Sunday. It's a lot of people's almost Easter. It's like, it's not Easter, but it's sort of like Easter, right? It's close to it, yeah, sort of. It's that entrance into Holy Week when we remember the day Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And it's kind of interesting. I'm gonna take a step away from our journey through Mark, and for this week and next week, myself and Abel are going to be just talking about the Easter season a little bit. And I didn't plan on it this way, but this is a version of a message I did last week in Oswego, and it's one of those things where you write it out, and then you're not really paying attention to it. And then after you hear yourself speaking it from a stage, you realize, "Ooh, I should probably do this here. This is a good thing." And the title of the message today is "As Far as It Depends on You," and it comes from Romans 12, and it's gathered around the idea of not just peace, but intentional peace. Peace is very interesting. We think peace is just absence of conflict, but peace is actually something you have to do intentionally. And I thought it really fit this week, especially because the idea, and we'll see it as we get into the passage, is that Paul is saying, bless those who curse you or who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And I don't think there's a better example of bringing a blessing to those who persecute you than Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey to do the most amazing blessing the world could ever ask for to people who hate his guts, just to give us the opportunity to come to him in repentance and find forgiveness and salvation. I can't think of a better example of that. And I thought, wow, what a coincidence that God would be bringing this out around this time of year. So it's so strange. So it's an amazing parallel, I think, for the season. So let's look at the passage, and then I'm going to walk through three elements of the passage that I want to talk about today. Three things that I think are important for us to understand when it comes to this particular concept. So starting right off in verse 14, it says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. By being of the same mind towards one another, not being haughty in mind, but associating with the humble, do not be wise in your own mind. Never paying back evil to anyone, respecting what is good in the sight of all men." Listen to this part. "If possible, so far as it depends on you, being at peace with all men. Never taking your own revenge, beloved, instead leave room for the wrath of God." That's a great line right there. Leave room for the wrath of God. "For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head." So we get that going for us. "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, aren't we glad? I mean, this is, you know, Paul writing this in the mid-late first century, and aren't we glad that we don't live in a time where just being Christian, just following the scriptures, just wanting to walk out our faith in our life never brings persecution from those outside the faith, right? Honestly, it not only brings persecution from those outside of faith, quite often it'll bring persecution from those inside the faith, because we all know that just because someone walks into a church building and listens to music and pays attention to the message does not mean that they're actually living out their faith. Your faith does not happen on Sunday morning between 10 and 12. Your faith is real when you leave this building for the next 6.5 days until you come here again. That's where your faith is. An old friend of mine, Don Kronk, used to say that you know how deep your faith is when you know you're somewhere you won't get caught. Isn't that true? No one will ever know. Well, there's someone who always knows, so it's important. But this passage is not about the persecution of just about unbelievers persecuting the believer. It sounds like it's about unbelievers persecuting the believer, but it's actually not. It's about the response of the believer to the unbeliever bringing the persecution. That's the focus of this passage. It's got nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with us. You see, because when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, it had nothing to do with whether or not the Pharisees were going to actually like him this time. This was all about what he was going to do, not what they were going to do. See, at the end of the day, the only person that we actually have control over is us. We can't control how people respond to us. We can't control how people respond to the Word of God. We can't control how people respond to the moral application of our faith. But we can control how we respond to them. And so the first thing, right off the bat, bless and do not curse. Now, for those of you who just took the Bible class, this is something that we actually just talked about. Now, there are very interesting passages of text that every now and then what you find is that there are sections in your Bible where some translations will have a word removed, and other ones will have a little note in the margin, not found in the older, more reliable text, whatever. And this is one of those texts where there are actually two available versions of this. Now, these are called variants, and don't worry, they don't change anything. They don't change any doctrinal position. What they typically do is they will add a level of understanding that maybe isn't clear in the text by itself. It just forces you to stop and go, huh, that's interesting that it could also be applied this way. This is one of those texts by the removal of one word, and we'll get to that in just a second. So the majority of the texts read, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse, right? Pretty easy to see. I went too fast. I shouldn't have showed you that one. It's okay. Now you know where we're going. The context of this passage is that as a believer, and you think about this, if you read the rest of this passage at the very beginning, if you were to put into place, as a believer, you should bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, weep with those who weep. Celebrate with those who celebrate. We should be, as a believer, here's how you should respond to the people who are around you who might not be in the faith. As a believer, this is what I'm asking you to do. But the problem is, when it comes to persecution, especially this, bless, if possible, you know, live at peace with those, with the men around you. But this is saying, bless those who persecute you. The people who make it personal. They're not just worried. They're not really saying much just about Christianity in general. They're talking about you specifically. And those are amazing people because they make you really have to pay attention to how much grace you have available in your life. And a lot of us go through life and we are more than willing to open up the top of our grace can and allow God to pour all the grace in for us that we want. But when it comes to pouring that grace out on somebody else, we're all like, you know, the guy in the desert with the canteen going, nothing in here. Yeah, oh, sorry, I got no grace for you. It's just a throat punch. But I'll pray for you afterwards. See, our faith is our identity as a Christian. Our faith is our identity. You see, I'm not an American Christian. I'm a Christian who happens to live in America. You see, Christian is the primary identity that I carry. Because my Christianity bridges the gap between wherever I am in the world. You shouldn't be like, you know, American Christians are interesting, but I tell you what, those New Zealand Christians, I like that the flavor's better. It's probably the accent. Everyone likes it when Andrew Eastman's up here. It's just because I could just listen to him talk. I don't know, listen to the words. That would be helpful too. See, but the way Christians live, the way we act, the way we react to one another, the way we live out our faith should be no different in any part of the world because the Bible, the scriptures, the roadmap to our life, it doesn't change. There's not a New Zealand Bible or an Australian Bible or an African Bible and an American Bible. There's the Bible. It's the Word of God. It doesn't change based on where you live. So the application of our faith should be the same. So our identity is found in Christ and Christ alone. Everything else is gravy on the potatoes. It's nice, but you don't necessarily need it. It's the center point that we're actually looking for. And there's never anything easy about dealing with a personal attack or when people decide to make something personal. Doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter what you're doing, doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, these things happen on a regular basis. And I've now been in full-time ministry now for 16 years. I've been serving God for 32 years. I've been in active ministry for 28 of those years. I've seen a lot of stuff. I've heard some amazing stories. And some of the things that I've been told, and in the last 16 years, we've had people come in the church, and we've had people leave the church. My favorite are the people who come in the church. I love this place. Your family, the community here is awesome. This is so wonderful. I just love it here. That's fantastic. And then I say something from the pulpit, and they're like, I can't be here. Can't be here. I can't be in this loving, accepting, welcoming, helpful community that spends time, you know, developing one another because doesn't agree with me on this. And it gets amazing because there's no way to not take it personally. I'd come to your church, but you're not spirit-filled enough. Okay. The church? No, you. Oh, okay. Sounds good. I'd come to your church, but you don't believe that you have to speak in tongues to be saved. Okay. Neither does the Bible, but that's fine. That's fine. Fine. I come to your church. This is my absolute favorite, and I'm not making any of this up, folks. I'm not making any of this stuff up. This is my absolute favorite. The first time I heard this, I was like, I don't know if this is a compliment or not. I would come to your church, but you spend way too much time talking about what the Bible says. Thanks for leaving. This is called addition by subtraction, okay? It's a new kind of math. You can talk to Abel about it. But another one of my favorites is, I come to your church, but you have the wrong view of end times. you have the wrong view of that thing the Bible says no one understands. Good for you. Now, someone comes in and someone leaves, that's fine. Find the place that works for you. I'm fine with that. It's okay. It really is okay. I want you all to stay, but that's fine. People, it's you know, some people like Italian food, some people like Chinese. Figure out which one you like and go there. Just be committed. I mean that in a non, you know, straight jacket, insane asylum kind of way. Be committed. Depends on the church, yeah, depends on the church. But what happens quite often is that people who come and then leave are very vocal to everyone around them about why they've left. And I've experienced and this is not every pastor in every church, everywhere in the world has dealt with this 1,000 different times. There's nothing unique going on here. But people love to tell everybody why they're not there anymore. I was there for a little while, but I gotta tell you. Pastor was talking once, and he said you didn't have to speak in tongues to be saved. I don't know if I can be in a church like that. Oh, that was great timing. I don't know who did that, but that bing. Stay on that button, and when I do something neat, do it again. Or let me answer the text for you, and I'll ask them why they're not in church with you. Anyway. But what do you do when people make it personal? What do you do? It used to bug the snot out of me. Over the years, I've learned to take a lot of advice from Southern women. Bless your heart. Because that's about all I got. I can't give anger and resentment space. Because if I do, when you give anger and resentment space, it doesn't just come and camp for a while. It like digs a foundation and it stays with you and you forget about it for a while. Then that person's name comes up or you see me and you're like, oh, hi. Oh, you. You can't give that space in your heart. You gotta do exactly what we're supposed to do. You ball it up and you set it off to the side. Bless those who persecute you, even if it's bless their heart. If you don't know what I'm saying there, then you need to talk to someone from the South. They will explain it to you. When people make it personal, even when they're speaking out of a lack of understanding, we do not give ourselves permission to take on their attitude. We take on the attitude of Christ. We decide to take the high road. That particular rock is not worth putting in my bag for me to carry it the rest of my life. Leave that rock on the ground where it belongs and just pray that that person, now remember, these are people in or out of the church, you pray that God opens that person's eyes so that they realize what it is they've been doing in their life. I had an unbelievably amazing experience about a month and a half ago. A gentleman who I had done counseling with a long time ago, who it is means no difference. This person did not have a very high opinion of me. Different things happened in his life. And he showed up one day, just out of the blue, here at the church. And I see him walking in, and I'm thinking, I might actually get punched. It's not the first time. It's like, okay, I have no idea why this person's here, but I have a firearm. So, you know, it's okay. I'm over at my safe going, beep, beep, beep. Just taking a second and breathing it in. Sits down and he goes, I need to talk to you. I was like, okay. Comes in, he sits down. He says, I need to apologize to you. Every muscle in my body relaxed. Oh, okay. Why? That was my next question. Why? It was because I never valued what you were trying to do for me. And now I understand. And he goes, and even though I don't share your beliefs, I owe you, this is not a believer, by the way. Says, at the very least, I should be man enough to tell you that I appreciate that you were trying to help me and apologize for the difficulty that I gave you in the process. Because he did not speak well of me outside of this. I'm just saying, it's fine, you know. And he was trying to correct that. I thought, are you kidding? Now imagine if I had given him back the attitude that he had given me. Every time, you know, his back got up, my back, yeah, he could stand and get, you know, get big, and I would get a box and stand on that and be bigger. I've got a lot of milk crates, people. I got asked by someone once, do you preach from the stage or the floor? Is that a serious question? Do you want to see me or just see a bald, shiny spot moving across the front? Give me a break. Yeah. Oh. Believe it or not, when I did this, I had to adjust that screen and the cameras to account for me and Abel's little chrome, shiny dome. Because if I don't, if you put it on regular brightness, we look like two flashlights. And if both of us are here on stage, it's like a lightsaber duel going on. It's a halos. I'm sorry. Yes, halos. Yes. Yes. God only made so many perfect heads that Rusty covered with hair. It's nice. You wax it, and in the rain, it beads up and slides right off. It's really good. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. Doesn't work too well in Africa, though, does it, Sam? So anyway, moving right along, because that wasn't off the you know, off the rails whatsoever. Paul is not trying to tell us that this is easy. He's not trying to tell us that it's simple. He's not trying to tell us, hey, just don't worry about it. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, bless those who persecute you. People who make it personal and who do it on purpose. You bless those people. You bless and you do not curse. And I got to tell you, I'm still working on this. I bless most of the people who persecute me. Look, I'm a work in progress, just like you. But you notice when he says, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. He did not say live at peace with all believers. He said live at peace with all men. It means everybody, inside and out the church. Do everything you can to live with peace outside the church. Now, on the other side of this, like I said, there's a different way of looking at this, is that there are a couple of scriptural fragments. One's called P46, for those of you who are nerds. and the word you is removed. And so it just reads, bless those who persecute, bless and do not curse. So now it's interesting. Now remember, it didn't change anything. It simply showed us the other side of the coin. Bless those. Ask God to bless those who make it personal about you. Now, bless those. You ask God to bless those who hate everyone that follows Christ. Whether it's about you or whether it's about the church in general, irrelevant. Our attitude towards them is exactly the same. We bless. We bless and do not curse. It doesn't matter how personal someone makes it. They're still lost. Here's the crazy thing. Whether or not someone is coming after you or coming after the church in general, they're lost. And John 3 says, I didn't come to judge the world. The world has already been judged. There are two types of people in this world. Those outside of the faith who have not accepted Christ as their Savior. And also some people think, well, you don't need to accept Jesus as your Savior. You need to be a good person. You're wrong. Read the rest of the Bible. It'll make it pretty clear. There is one way only, and that's him. No one comes to the Father except through what? The door of the church? Good, solid, consistent offerings? Being part of Helping Hands and going to a small group? Through me, meaning Jesus, not me. You can't get anywhere through me, trust me. Nope. We pray that God brings them his truth, that they find a real Christ-centered life, they repent and find salvation that they desperately need. And here's the kicker. No matter how mean they have been to you or how mean they have been to the church, when they come to the faith, we accept them as a believer. Just like we would want to be accepted as a believer. Have you ever seen a celebrity make a statement of faith? I have now committed my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. What does the bulk of the church do? Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't believe that. We start off with, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Now, sometimes that has been proven true. It was not true. But imagine if you came to faith. In the days where you confess Christ as your Lord, if everyone around you who knew you before was like, no, you didn't. You're not a Christian. You went to church and had an emotional experience. You'll be right back to who you were in a week. How would you feel about that? I don't think we would like it. But as the body of the church, we should be embracing those people. Otherwise, you find these celebrities and these people with a lot of influence who end up being the seed cast on the footpath, quickly comes down, birds take it, fly away. Why? Probably because the rest of the church wasn't interested in helping them actually develop roots, because we didn't believe them. We were anticipating their downfall so we could celebrate it, letting everyone know that they're not as righteous as we are. See, that's not the truth. It's not where we should be. We should be seeing these people who come to faith, no matter how bad they are, no matter what they've been doing, no matter how many bad things they've said about you as a believer, individually or as a church in general. When they come to faith, we should be celebrating with those people. There's an old joke of the old lady living next door to the atheist. This is some of you probably heard this before. And the atheist is constantly getting on the lady's case about her faith. And she keeps saying, I'll pray for you, I'll pray for you. And finally, he finds out one day that she needs help with groceries and she doesn't have any money. And she's the atheist is hearing this lady pray, Lord, help me, I need groceries, I don't have any money. Lord, I just need you to help me, whatever you can do. And the guy's like, I got an idea. He goes out and gets groceries and he brings it back and puts it on her door. And he waits. And she comes home, oh, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Look, I got groceries. God answered my prayer. And he opens the door and he goes, ha! I'm the one that brought the groceries. It wasn't God. And she starts yelling even more, praise you, Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, you brought me groceries and you made the devil pay for it. Bless those who persecute. Bless and do not curse. Doesn't matter who they are. Moving on to the second one. Be present, be humble, and be kind. Be present, be humble, and be kind. Let's look at this passage again. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. By being of the same mind towards one another, not being haughty in mind, but associating with the humble, do not be wise in your own mind. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Anyone? Really? Anyone? Can I pick a couple people? Respecting what is good in the sight of all men, if possible, as far as it depends on you, being at peace with all men. Never taking your own revenge. Beloved, instead, leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Because don't worry, they're not getting away with nothing. Neither are we. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. One of the constant issues with religious leaders during Jesus' day is that they were so convinced that their version of Messiah was correct and that Jesus didn't line up with that. They were so convinced that he couldn't be who he was claiming to be, they could not see what he was doing right in front of them. He'd be in the synagogue and he would heal. They would get mad that it was on the wrong day. How crazy is that? They would get upset over the most ridiculous details. This is fiction, but it makes me laugh every time I think about it and I read a passage like this. Samantha and I have been watching through the Chosen. If you don't like it, I don't need to hear it. If you don't want to watch it, fine, it's fine. I think it's interesting. So it's been a lot of fun for me. And at the feeding of the 5,000. Everyone's walking away. Most of them are Gentiles. And up come the Pharisees looking for, he's eating with Gentiles. I cannot believe this. And he stops one. The guy goes, what happened? And he goes, you wouldn't believe this. There were empty baskets. And all of a sudden, they were filled with fish. And this everyone ate. And it was fantastic. And the Pharisees go, he's eating with Gentiles. And the Gentile goes, I tell them of a miracle. And he said, and they complain he's eating with the wrong people. They were so full of themselves. They were so unaware of what God was doing around them. They could only see their own desire. They couldn't see Jesus healing. They couldn't see what was happening because he was doing it to the wrong people on the wrong day. Because we all know God only shows up between 10 and 12 on Sundays for righteous people who do the right thing and give the right amount. We all know that that's how it works, right? That God works on a schedule, and if you're off of his schedule, it doesn't happen. But that's not what happens. God's available 24/7 for the worst of us or the best of us. He's listening to everybody, not just a few. They were so blinded by the procedures that they had established for their work that they couldn't see the people their work was supposed to serve. They couldn't see the needs of the people because they were too busy focusing on the procedures that they had created for their work. They couldn't even rejoice when Jesus would heal someone in the midst of the synagogue. They couldn't even be happy for the guy or a person who was healed. Oh, you've been blind your whole life? Yeah, but he did it on the wrong day. You should feel shame. Are you kidding me? These are the people that are supposed to be the light of the world. They're supposed to be managing the light of God's word. They're supposed to be helping and supporting the people of God. They couldn't even see the hand of God in the midst of the people of God. They weren't present, they weren't humble, and they were not kind. But look at what we're told to do here. Well, here's a question for you. Now I'm going to move on. Here's what Paul's helping us remember. What does he say? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Who was he just talking about? Weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. Who is the context of who he's talking about here? Because the sentence before is, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. He's talking about the people who don't like you. The people outside the church. The people who are persecuting them. Those who are against you. We have a hard time with this. When someone at work who you don't like, they don't like you, they get the promotion, what are we thinking? Yeah, because they deserve it. Can we not be happy for them? Maybe they actually earned it. Can we be humble enough and aware enough that we can actually bless those who've persecuted us? Can we actually be kind to those who have been mean to us? Can we rejoice with those who are rejoicing? Now, we're not going to rejoice in their sin, but if God brings a blessing to them or if something good happens to them, can we not be good with that? Someone you work with, someone you don't necessarily like, all of us, and they're having a baby shower. Do you send a gift? No. I don't want them to be happy. I want them to be miserable, just like me. Why not take a different road? When people would not expect kindness from you, that is the best time to give it. Because you show them the Christ in you that is more important than the offense they gave you. See, this is that whole part about blessing those who persecute you. When they need someone to cry with, we'll sit with them. Because maybe they open up to you. When they need someone to rejoice with, maybe we feel good for them. Hey, I'm glad you got the promotion. I'm glad this is happening for you. This is great. I'm happy for you. You show them a different side of you, the side they're not expecting. And that's what Paul's trying to help us understand here. When the world pushes, they're expecting us to react a certain way. They're expecting us to act like unbelievers. So what do? We don't. When the world pushes against you and they try to drive you down, the last thing you need to do is act like someone who's never met Christ. Because we are supposed to be the other side of that coin. We're supposed to take the high road. And folks, I'm not saying that this is easy, and I'm not saying you won't struggle, and I'm not saying you won't fail. But if you don't try to do it intentionally, that level of peace will never come. Because remember, what did Paul say here? If possible, if at all possible, as far as it concerns you, live at peace with all men. You do your part. You can't do their part. And even if you bring them kindness, if they just blow you off, rub your nose in it, that's between them and God. Because now they have to stand before God. And what are we told here? Leave room for my vengeance, because it's real. And don't worry, they're not getting away with anything. Just do your part in this process. Can you imagine if Jesus rode into Jerusalem, palm leaves all over the place? I'm here for you all, except them, that, not that guy. Yeah, whatever. It's not what he was doing. All. For all. There's nothing easy about it. Are you willing to intentionally care for those who, without question, would care nothing for you? This is a hard one. This is not an easy teaching. Can you find it to be kind to those who would celebrate your downfall? Paul says it's like shoveling burning coals on their head. So like I said, at least there's that. That's how I feel about it sometimes. At the very least, it'll confuse them. It might even open up the door where you can actually share your faith with them, and that's the goal anyway. Number three, you have a choice. First one is bless and do not curse. Second is be present, be humble, be kind. And the third is you have a choice. Here's the power of choice. What defeats darkness? Light. What defeats cold? Warmth. What defeats sadness? Joy. What defeats sin? Righteousness. All those things that we want to defeat, They are not because of something. Darkness exists because light is not there. Cold exists because warmth is not there. Sadness exists because joy is not there. And sin exists because righteousness is not there. You want to defeat these things, and you have to intentionally add what defeats it. You want to defeat the darkness in someone's life, you got to bring the light. You want to defeat coldness in someone's life, you got to bring warmth. You want to defeat sin in someone's life, you got to bring righteousness. That's not going to happen accidentally, and it's not going to happen while we hold a grudge against those who have said something bad about us or have done something against us or have spoke poorly about the church. It's never going to happen when we stand back and go, they are just getting what they deserve. Hallelujah. They're getting what they deserve. Now let me ask you a question. Should God give you what you deserve? Then why would we expect God to give them what they deserve? We should be doing everything we can to get them out of what they rightfully deserve. The same way someone fought to get us out of what we rightfully deserve. I'm a sinner, lost, unable to save myself. I exist in this life for one reason and one reason only, because Christ did what I could not. So I follow that. I give myself to that. I don't do it perfectly. I struggle all the time. So do you. But that doesn't mean that we just give up. It means that in moments where it matters, especially, we make a conscious decision to bring the thing that's missing. Paul says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, being at peace with all men. These are the choices that we make. We can be light, we can be warmth, we can be joy, and we can be righteousness, but we have to decide to be those things. They don't happen on their own. In the simplest of terms, what Paul is telling us is it means no difference what they did or who they are, how personal they made it, or how general they're making it. You do your part to do the right thing, and we leave the rest to God. Now, part of the reason I wanted to do this today is because I've seen a lot. I am not a commenter on social media. I'm one of the people that scroll, and every now and then I'll type something out. It's like, oh, yeah. Delete. Nope. Unless it's a vegan site, then I just let it go because it's way too much fun to do that. And then you just ignore the comments while everyone's losing their mind. It's a spiritual gift. I'm working on it. Especially with everything going on politically and around the world, the things that I've seen from those in the church, and I'm not pointing anybody, I'm not talking about just on, and it's just people who I know are in the church around, are amazing to me to see it, because they are putting that out for the world to see as their representation of the light of God within that situation. Here's what Jesus would do. Oh, I'm not making that claim. No, you're not. But that's probably what people who don't believe, who know you're a confessing believer, think about your post. You don't realize it, folks, but people are watching you. They're seeing you. You are the representation of the light of God, and you may be the only Jesus they ever experience. Are you a good representation, or do you got some splaining to do? Most of us have some splaining to do. But you see, we got to be conscious and consciously aware of what we're doing. We make the choice to pursue a healthy environment. We're also making the choice to be an active part in that environment. You want to be the person that when you come into the room, tensions go down because people know that you'll help calm stuff down. You don't want to be the person when they come into the room, everyone tightens up. Oh, gosh, not them. It takes everyone working together to accomplish a common goal. While there will always be those in our lives who don't have grace, let's just make sure that we make room for them. Plenty of room. And as much as it depends on us, let's do our best to live at peace with all men. I think that's a pretty good piece of advice based on the temperature of the, I'll just say society's temperature at the moment. I think we can be a better example than what society is expecting us to be. They're expecting us to get mad. They're expecting us to be arrogant. They're expecting us to be full of ourselves. Let's show them something different. I think that's what God would want us to do. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that every aspect of every moment in our life, we can find an answer from you. If we just look into your word, we pay attention to what it is you're trying to teach us. You will show us the steps that lie in front of us, what we should be doing, how we should be reacting, how we should be representing you to the world around us to the best of our abilities. Father, help us to take this role seriously and to walk it out intentionally. We thank you for your constant presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. We'll see you next week for Easter Sunday. Have a great night.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We're glad you could be here. If you'd like to see or hear more, watch our service live on Facebook, YouTube, or visit our website at www.riveroflifechurch.org. We hope you have a great week.